A program in North Carolina takes a cue from that old saying, walk a mile in my shoes. It helps towns and cities in the state cope with mounting numbers of illegal immigrants. Every year, the program sends policymakers to Mexico for a week, and then it asks them to use what they learned when they come home. NPR's Jennifer Ludden has the first of two reports.
It's a program for grown-ups, county commissioners, school principals, sheriffs. But the pre-trip orientation session has the same excited buzz of a high school field outing.
Good morning.
How are you?
How are you? I'm Lindsay Wasky.
Jeff
nice
Barnhart.
To meet you. Okay, and this is the Cabarrus crew?
Right here.
Yes.
All right.
They
okay,
meet
so
over danishes and coffee
envelopes.
At a Greensboro
and
hotel. The day's schedule ranges from a lecture on the economic impact of immigration to practical tips on what to pack.
I think we'll try to get started.
The woman organizing it all is Millie Ravenel of the Center for International Understanding. She tells the group how 8 years ago, officials across North Carolina started calling up. They wanted to know how they should work with the state's exploding Hispanic population, one of the fastest growing in the nation. Ravenel answered with the Latino Initiative. She says the trip to Mexico gives policymakers a visceral sense of why many Mexicans come to the U.S.
You internalize it in your gut, and you make up your own mind about what it means for you and for your organization and your community. And you know, when you really understand something powerfully, it moves you to be active.
Ravenel says her program does not take a political stand and does not only preach to the converted. Jim Sides proves that. He's a businessman and Rowan County Commissioner.
Well, I really didn't know why they asked me to go because my views are a little stronger than others. I believe if they're here illegally, they need to go home.
Side says the trip is not about to change his mind, but he's open to a new experience. One month later, the North Carolinians are in the tiny central Mexican town of Pozos. It's a lovely but crumbling former colonial mining center. At midday, it feels like a ghost town. A local nonprofit has been trying to boost the economy through micro-projects, like supporting the musicians who craft these pre-Hispanic instruments. And around the corner, the group crowds around sewing machines to meet housewives who make cute Mexican dolls in traditional dress.
Para alguna fiesta o para algún funeral.
You see the suede brown outfit. Sometimes they wore it to funerals. And that yellow dress up there is what they would wear to ride.
As Latinos from North Carolina translate, the Americans are shocked to learn the women charge the equivalent of just $18 for their dolls. The Mexican housewives say they don't have time or expertise to market their product. That sets County Commissioner Jim Sides to brainstorming.
It would be amazing to me if they had somebody here who was knew how to use eBay, what they could do. I know they get $30 a piece.
Sides and another elected official say they got angry emails about this trip. Their constituents thought it was publicly financed. It's not. And they thought the point was to encourage more immigration. It's not. In fact, over dinners and on long bus rides, a main topic of debate is what the U.S. could do to encourage more Mexicans to stay in Mexico. But most say they just want a better idea of how to deal with the immigrants already in North Carolina. And Holly Blackwelder says she's getting it. Blackwelder's on the Cabarrus County School Board. As she walks to the next event, she says it's always bothered her that Latino students didn't seem interested in integrating. A visit to an elementary school in Pozos made her realize her own misperception.
They almost go with the concept you don't speak unless you're spoken to. So that's very different for our society because we have wanted kids to be more verbally open, you know, and to discuss, have discussions, and they are not used to that. I can't wait to take that information back. I think it will help teachers tremendously.
Salisbury Mayor Susan Klutz says she's been struck by another misperception, the idea that Mexicans want to come to the U.S.
All we've heard here is how sad the Mexicans are that their family members are leaving. You know, they're not happy. They just don't have a choice. And it really does break your heart to see that.
The next day, the group travels by bus over a rutted dirt road to an isolated cluster of homes. This area has one of the highest rates of migration to the U.S., And here in the farming village of El Gusano, nearly all the men have left. Kathy Bragg of the Red Cross and John McKay, a community college president, enter the tiny home of Maria Alvarez. The concrete walls of its one room are painted bright pink and lined with photos. There's one of Maria's husband, who died a decade ago, and pictures of her three sons, who all live in the U.S.
In Fort Worth, Texas.
Fort Worth, Texas.
What kind of work are they doing?
Los dos mayores trabajan en los techos.
The two older ones do roofing.
Y el menor está estudiando.
And the youngest one is studying.
Maria leads the group to a larger, empty house just behind. Her oldest son built it with money earned in the U.S., and Maria keeps it pristine in his absence. Her sons told her to move in, but she says she's just fine. Throughout the tour, John and Kathy pepper Maria with questions.
Where would she like to travel if she could go anywhere?
Si usted pudiera ir a cualquier lugar, ¿dónde le gustaría ir?
Yo con mis hijos.
To my sons. Oh, Texas.
Yes. Of course.
I think I'm going
to go.
I want to see my grandchild. ¿Cuánto tiene el nieto?
Va a cumplir un año mañana.
He's going to be a year old tomorrow.
The questions continue into the yard, where lush mountains across a valley lend an odd beauty to this desolate spot. And suddenly, an irony becomes clear. There are hundreds of thousands of Mexican immigrants in North Carolina. Yet some on this trip say they've never really spoken with any of them. Only here in Mexico, with a translator at hand and an excuse to barge into someone's life, are they having these simple, deeply personal conversations. Then, with hugs and warm handshakes, the North Carolinians climb back on their bus, and the women and children of El Gusano serenade them goodbye. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News.
Tomorrow, Jennifer follows this travel program back home to North Carolina to find out what happens there.